I'm sure by now you've heard how well we're emerging economically from the pandemic shutdown. And there's parts of this country that have been breaking records in advertising job vacancies online. And where are those records being broken, you may ask? Well, it's happening in regional Australia. That all sounds like great news. However, filling these jobs is now a serious challenge. Parts of regional Australia can't get the people they need, which means local economies are really suffering when they could be really benefiting. Rachel Whiting is the head of Regional Development Australia in the Riverina region of New South Wales. And Rachel, hello. Welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, Michael.
Good to have you with us. How long, Rachel, has your region been going, or I should ask, how long has the region that you're in the Riverina, been trying to fill vacancies? Has it been a long thing?
We believe there's been an issue in getting a skilled workforce or enough of the skilled workforce for some time. We surveyed businesses throughout our region last year, and we found that 48% of vacancies were unfilled in the previous 12 months to that, and 78.4% of respondents to the survey had difficulty in employing staff. The problem we see going forward is that there's so many large infrastructure projects on the horizon, as well as local businesses wanting to expand, and there's just not the workforce to fulfil those needs.
And Rachel, what were some of the large infrastructure projects that were being discussed in that survey?
Yeah, well, the survey didn't actually talk about those projects. It was just talking to businesses about their local needs and concerns. But we know that these other projects are on the horizon.
Right.
For example, and they're not yet approved, but the Transgrid transmission lines, one to South Australia and one into Victoria from Snowy 2.0. We've got solar farms, the special activation precinct in Wagga, Lake Cowal gold mine expansion, Griffith Hospital expansion. So,
and this is all just in the Riverina region alone?
Yes, or in very close proximity to it. So that doesn't even talk about the other large infrastructure projects planned for Greater New South Wales, which will also suck workforce.
So you've got these two sort of levels of concern and need here. You've got the major capital works projects that may employ lots of people over a period of time and then maybe wane off, but you've also got underneath that an underlying jobs or skill shortage when it comes to day-to-day jobs trying to be filled by local business.
That's correct. I think our unemployment rate for March was 4.9%, so it's quite low, and traditionally it's quite low. We've also come off a bumper harvest, so there's been a lot of jobs in agriculture, but generally our manufacturing industry in the Riverina is quite strong, and those businesses also constantly saying they need more staff, they need more metal fabricators, welders, etc., all the time, and large numbers of them. And those businesses would expand and would employ even more people if they could fulfil their current needs.
Rachel, I'm going to come back to you because I'd like to also invite into the conversation now Kim Horton. Kim is the Chief Economist with the Regional Australia Institute as well. Kim, hello.
Good morning, Michael.
Kim, I take it you've got the most recent online job data for Regional Australia. What are we seeing right now? Is it echoing what we've just been discussing there with Rachel?
Oh, yes. Rachel's talking about skilled trades and professions, and they're very much in demand across regional Australia. We all got this number nerds all got very excited last month because in March 2021, there were over 66,000 jobs advertised on the internet in regional Australia, and that's a record. So that's even more than it was 10 years before at the height of the mining boom. So big jump, big rapid recovery from COVID. And I think the big thing, as Rachel's alluding to, is, 10 years years ago, there was a real mix of trades-related jobs and labourers. Over that decade, this has been a major shift, and we're really looking at about 80% of the jobs currently advertised are in skilled trades and professions. The labouring jobs have really fallen away. So what regions need more than anything else at the moment are skilled workers.
Well, and this is the frustration of all this, isn't it, Kim? Because you've got this amazing sort of opening up of demand for skilled jobs, and yet no people on the ground, it seems, to fill them. Why, in all this discussion we've had in the last 18 months about trends of people leaving our cities in search of a better, less COVID-oppressed life in regional Australia, why isn't that then corresponding with these skilled jobs being filled?
Look, we've talked a lot about that, whether that's happening or not. The official data from the ABS tells us that it's actually not yet happening. There's no official sort of confirmation that we've got large numbers of people moving from cities to regions last year. So that's a bit of a conundrum for us. We heard a lot of talk about that. Yeah. We've seen house prices go up, but I think the regional house price jump was not driven actually solely through massive increases in demand of people relocating. So there's a few mixed signals there. I think what we're seeing, Michael, though, is it's been harder and harder for people living in regions to pick up, to learn those skills, to get that vocational training, to get that tertiary education. And I think what we're seeing now is really the consequences of a steady erosion of the availability of those learning opportunities in regions. So, you know, employers are looking for skilled people. It's very hard for people in regions to get those skills in regions. And we know that if they leave the region to go and get some of those skills, they're less likely to come back.
Rachel Whiting, I'm going to come back to you on Kim's last point about education. We have regional campuses of universities and other learning institutions, TAFE colleges around the nation. Why aren't they able to keep people where they're needed, train them up, and then release them into the local economy?
Well, often the universities in regional Australia, definitely in our region, doesn't have all of the qualifications or doesn't offer all of the qualifications that we need. So we love having a regional university in Wagga Wagga, but for example, mechanical engineering, electrical engineering, mechatronics, which is a really growing need, engineering are not offered at the Charles Sturt University Wagga campus. They do offer civil engineering through Bathurst. If you want to study mechanical engineering and you live in Wagga or Griffith or any of our Riverina towns, you would need to travel to Melbourne or Sydney or Canberra or Wollongong or Newcastle.
Right. Okay. So the skills training isn't necessarily where the skills demand is. That's the issue.
Well, there may be a skills demand in those locations as well. But yes, I believe universities should be better funded to meet the needs of the regions that they're in. I think that you could identify a number of opportunities like that, and especially with our TAFEs as well. We hear constantly about the need for quite young people trying to learn a trade having to travel long distances to do the TAFE component of their course. And we also have experienced employers being very supportive of that. Yet if you've got someone only just on their P's trying to do that or even without a licence, it becomes extremely difficult. And I think some people just find it too hard.
Kim Horton, we don't want this eagerness for new people into new jobs to go unmet. Otherwise, it leads to a kind of despair and a bit of a moral collapse, or morale collapse, I should say, when it comes to businesses in those regions. We've relied on skilled migrants in the past, but of course, in the future, we've got COVID lockdown, we've got international borders closed. The federal government, depending on who you hear from, is talking about those borders not even thinking about reopening until the middle of next year. How do we find these skilled migrants to fill these jobs, or do we need to recalibrate and go, maybe we're not attracting the right Australians who live within our borders now to the regions?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think what we're seeing, actually, I've been working in this sort of field for 20 odd years. I had very little idea about how important that flow of overseas migrants was to regional employers. You know, overwhelmingly, we thought of the migration story as a city story. But
yeah.
I think one of the reasons that our job vacancies have jumped so much, because people, employers are having to cast the net wider than they used to. They can't rely on these word of mouth networks anymore. So they're turning to advertise on the web, is because those borders are closed, and there's not that flow now of migrants coming through from overseas to cities and now to regions. So it is putting us back. I think we've had it a little bit easy in a way, being able to rely on that as a bit of a gap filler. Mm. You know, we know we've had the migrants who've backpackers have been doing hospitality work and harvesting work. You know, this long-running story that you know, Australians don't really like to work in meat processing, for instance, so we're relying on people from overseas to fill those jobs. But it's more than that, isn't it? I mean, I've noticed more and more migrants are pharmacists in regional areas, are doctors, are educators, are allied health providers. So I think that you know, closing those borders has actually influenced that flow as well as professions as much as of trades and low-skilled workers. And I think really the real medium-term answer to this, though, is you know, everybody's talking about wanting to lift real wages. You know, that's going to get the country going again. We want per capita wages to go up. The best way to do that is to get a higher-paying job. And the best way to get a higher-paying job is to have the skills that those higher-paying employers are looking for you to have to fill those positions. So I really see it as a no-regrets pathway for the country in the whole and for the region to really put a whole heap of effort. Let's rebuild those regional learning systems. Let's rebuild that education in that sort of post-school environment so that we're skilling up the people that employers are now saying they need. Because employers are telling us really clearly they've shifted. They've shifted from labourers and low-skilled workers in the regions in the past. They want Cert 3, Cert 4 and professions.
So training, of course, is key. But at the same time, from what you're just saying there, Kim, do you think we need to bite the bullet and stop expecting that there is a sort of a two-speed economy when it comes to the kind of income you can earn in a skilled job between our capital cities and our regions? Is it time to go, if you want to attract populations of skilled people, workforce, whether they be migrants or Australians who live within our borders, to those places, they have to offer comparable wage levels?
Yeah, and look, they do. The wages on offer aren't that different between the capital cities and the metro areas. Rachel pointed out really elegantly, I think, that there's a real construction pinch at the moment because we've had so many large projects going on and we've had so much government, state and federal stimulus of construction. So we're going to have to see a bit of an increase in, as we did through the mining boom. The wage premium for construction workers during the mining boom was quite significant, and I think we're going to have to see some of that translating through across regional Australia over the next sort of 6 to 12 months because of that volume of projects. So wages are going to have to go up a little bit in order to attract people. We know that the other driver is sort of those perceptions of livability. You know, somebody yep. may be looking at a job with comparable wages. They're going to look very closely at what that town offers in other ways. Is there a job for my partner? Is there a job for my kids when I grow up?
Oh, there's a job coming through for you now, Kim, I think.
I do. I've got to try and get rid of that.
Look, I might just quickly go to Rachel as we finish this up. Rachel, we've only got a few seconds left.
Sure.
But can I just ask you, I take it even if there was demand being met for the vacancies that are out there, people crying out for these vacancies to be filled, you've also got to house the people that come to fill those vacancies. Is that going to be an issue as well?
Look, it's an issue that we definitely have highlighted and our communities are talking about. What I'd suggest to people interested in looking at a place like the Riverina to move to for work is to really check it out. We have a great site called Country Change. It talks about all our towns and villages and what there is to offer. Some of our locations have housing and others it's getting scarce. But don't write it off completely. But yes, it's definitely an issue that needs to be addressed.
Rachel, great to talk to you. Thanks very much for coming on the show.
No worries, Michael. Thank you.
Rachel Whiting, Head of Regional Development Australia in the Riverina region of New South Wales, which is one of these areas of high demand for more workers to come in to fill these jobs. As you heard there from Rachel, 48% vacancy rate for jobs online that goes unanswered. We also heard from Kim Horton, Chief Economist with the Regional Australia Institute, echoing some of Rachel's concerns on a national basis. Let's hope we can address that because it's a great problem to have as long as you can solve it.